the Word of God, given by inspiration to the prophet for his people, for us. And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I've already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. And that is the word of the Lord. Ministers of the gospel, those called to teach the people of God, are to teach the word to the people of God. They are not to twist it. They are not to rely upon vain imagination. They are not to go with the times. They are not to pick up and have their hand upon the pulse of what is commonly believed, so as to preach something that is right in style and goes right along with the virtues and the views of morality and religion that are held by the world. Rather, they are to comfort the people of God. They are to convict them, yes. They are to instruct them. They are to challenge them to turn their hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not to tickle the ears. Paul, in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, said to the Thessalonians that we brought the gospel to you in great boldness. We didn't come with greed. We didn't come with error. We didn't come with fraud. We weren't trying to manipulate. We weren't trying to cheat. The gospel that we brought, though it was at great cost of suffering, we brought freely. We didn't come to flatter people. Paul was telling the Thessalonians that the gospel they had received from both Paul and Silas and Timothy, the three of them, was the true gospel. It didn't rely on human wisdom. And that's what the people received. But the priests of Malachi's time were tickling the ears. Their teaching ministry was corrupt. It went right along with the cheap sacrifices, didn't it? There were the cheap sacrifices, the blind, the lame, that which was violently torn apart, that was offered up to the Lord as a sacrifice. And they thought, well, surely this has to be acceptable to God. I mean, what does he expect? And so their teaching, likewise, was corrupt. And it is rebuked here in verses 1 through 9 of Malachi chapter 2. But it's different enough. And this particular corruption of the priest's responsibility to warrant its own rebuke, but also a reminder of God's purpose for giving the priests at all. See, there are three parts to these nine verses. The first part is the curse. This is the curse that he will bring and really has already started to bring upon the priests for their corrupting the Word of God, and they're teaching the people and instructing the people. The second part of it, which we'll save to the last, is the very purpose God gave the priests. The covenant with Levi for life and peace. It's really great. It points to Christ. It's fabulous. And he reminds them of why that he had to rebuke them now, so that they would get the true message, that what he wanted them to hear and what he wanted the people to hear. But then finally, it's the charge. You know, what is it that they were doing wrong? That comes in the last part. So we'll handle it a little differently than the order that it is given there by Malachi. The Lord, we will see in how he handles the priests here, the Lord disciplines his ministers so that they may know his good purpose for his people. Ministers need to be reminded that God, with the ministry of a word, has a good purpose for you. The purpose is not to elevate the minister. The purpose is not to flatter you or tickle your ears. God has a really, really good purpose for even what is happening right now in this part of the worship service and the preaching of God. So very exciting. But first, when we look at this prophecy given to Malachi, we see the real harm of bad teaching. The real harm of bad teaching. Thus, James in his epistle warned that not many of them ought to be teachers. Listen to that. Not many of you brothers ought to be teachers, understanding that those who teach will be held to a stricter judgment because of the importance of the office. Because of what it means to be a teacher of the people of God. Proclaim the Word of God is to proclaim that which is contained in the Scriptures, or is rather given in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. It is given in the words of God from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And that's what is to be preached, because God has a good will for it in the life of His people. But having such a position, having such a place of authority, being called, even as the Lord God says here, a minister and a messenger of the Word of God. Because of that, importance can be easily abused, right? It's not just a matter of taking advantage of the position like the Pharisees did. So they received praise and thank yous and hellos and greetings and the first places at the table and maybe the best cut of meat or whatever it is they get. But the harm comes in that the people are instructed by God to receive the Word of God from those priests, to seek instruction from them. You see, it's because God tells you to hear the Word of God as it is preached, the opportunity for abuse rests not just in the preacher teaching something that is strange, but teaching something that is strange to people who are told to listen and expect something different from the preacher. Look at verse 7. This is what the people are taught. This is what the people are told. The lips of the priest should guard knowledge. But what about, and the people should what? The people should seek instruction from his lips. He is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Such is a good blessing of God to the people of God through the priests, that you can see right off the potential for abuse. Because the priest didn't even have to tell you to listen to them. God had already said, listen, seek instruction from them. Now understand, you are to be good Bereans and search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. To understand the harm is to understand that good that was expected by the people. Its harm to the people is found in verses 8 and 9. God says, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. Now, let's just look at those words and not pass over them too quickly. They had turned away, first of all, from the Torah, the command of God, His Word, His law. That's what they had to teach. They had the Old Testament law. They had the Scriptures, and they were to instruct the people for their good and their benefit. They were to wisely give counsel to the people through the teaching of the Word. And they had set that aside. Once set aside, who knows what's coming out of their mouth, right? And the people were taught to listen and expect that they would be taught the very Word of God, and they weren't. So they had turned away from that. But the second part, they had caused many to stumble. Those who were instructed by God to seek instruction from the priests, those who heard their teaching were actually tripped up. They were fooled by a faithless guide. How do people stumble under bad teaching? Here's one way. People are caused to stumble under a false security of God's favor through bad teaching. Teaching that does not take account of the whole of Scripture, the whole counsel of God, that offers God's favor without any reference to sin and the need for atonement. The message that says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life that doesn't take into account that man is dead in trespasses and sin, hates God, and is in complete and utter ruin with having no ability or will to do anything pleasing to Him. It's to set people up for a false sense of security, and that is to cause them to stumble. Even as they darken the doors and enter into a church with a Christian name plastered on the sign outside, this is the church of this, or this is a Christian church of whatever, and they come in, and if they hear that, they are made to stumble. And that's what the priests were doing. They're causing the people to stumble. And one of that ways, you give them false security. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their evangelistic zeal. He says, you go out and you make proselytes of these Gentiles. And you know what you do? You make them twice the child of hell as you are. You cause them to stumble. You give them false security. Like the many people who are told, well, if you've just said the words and repeated after me, then you're a Christian. And then they go out from the place and they tell everyone, well, I'm a Christian. And it doesn't matter what I do, I'm a Christian. And they haven't learned really repentance and faith. Second, they stumble in ignorance of God's true glory. So if the priests were offering blind and lame animals, it's certainly possible that the people were taught that they can bring blind, lame animals that have infections and scars and have been chewed up by some wild animal. And that's good. Well, this is what God accepts. People, by bad teaching from the pulpit, can get a sense that God really isn't that glorious at all. He's hip, but He's not glorious. He's not to be feared. He's not to be revered. He's not to be held up and exalted. He's to be brought down here. That's a God we can walk right up to and have no problem chumming along with. A God that receives lame and blind animals, that's not such a great God. Where's the glory in it? They stumble in ignorance of God's true glory. They stumble by failing to mature. They're not taught how to grow. They're not discipled from the teaching of the Word. So they don't know how it is to put sin to death in their lives. They don't know how it is. They may know the Ten Commandments, but they don't know how it is that they are to walk in those commandments. They don't know how to grow through it. They don't know what it means to die to sin and live unto righteousness. Because maybe all that's taught to them is legalism. And maybe everything they get when they come to church is being put right back under the law that they can never get a foothold on and never make any progress in their Christian faith. And all they get is more of the same because of the bad teaching. And so, in failing to mature likewise, they stumble under ignorance of God's grace. And the teaching and the wretched sacrifice, cheap sacrifices that the priests have made, they hid Christ from the people and caused them to stumble. Christ, who they had represented and typified in everything that they had in the sacrificial system, they taught the people to trip upon the stumbling stone and the rock of offense. What did Jesus say about those who caused these little ones to stumble? Better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and then be thrown into the lake, into the sea, and cause a little one to stumble. And these priests, from their position in their pulpits and their teaching authority and their instruction of the people, were tripping them left and right, and they were falling all over the place. And God took notice. He says, further down, they have corrupted the covenant of Levi. See, the Levites were given to the people as one tribe to stand in the place of all the tribes. So the tribe of Levi represented God's people before God and the sacrifices and the order of the temple, because all of God's people were priests. But in order to have a regulated and set apart ministry before Himself with a temple and tabernacle, then temple and all the sacrifices, He called the descendants of Levi, Aaron's descendants, to be the priests. The Levites having a work around the temple, assembling it, keeping things clean, polishing the brass, doing all those things. But there were things that were so important, because they, to view the priests, to view a Levite, an Israelite could look at a Levite from any tribe, look at a Levite and say, I mean that to God. Because it's not that the Levites were better. God just called them and chose them to be those representatives before God for the other tribes. They're their representatives. And they abused that covenant. They wrecked it and they ruined it. If the Levite could not be looked to as one who had nearness of approach to God and recognized God and could bring the people to God, then where does that leave the people if the covenant with Levi is broken and ruined and corrupted? To whom do they look? How sad. This is so sad what was being done. And finally, the priests used their instruction to corrupt justice. They showed partiality. What is it you want to hear? And if the priest is doing that, so if you come, you and your neighbor, you come before the priest and you're looking for some counsel and some wise instruction, some biblical judgment to deal with a problem you have with your neighbor, and you see that your neighbor has bribed or is good friends with the priest, and the priest decides in the favor, not of justice, but of your neighbor, because they know them, they're friends, they're chums, you know, you got a bribe or whatever it is, and they corrupt justice, what vision of God does that give to the people? The God whose temple it is, the God whose representative the priest is to be, is corrupting justice. What does that tell them, and how does that communicate about the loving God who is righteous and just? It defames Him. The teaching of God's people, according to the Word of God, for the building of them up, for comfort, for instruction, for training in righteousness, the preaching of the Word of God to the people of God must be so secured. The minister must have the prayer of his people that he not become this. Because the minister doesn't, you know, I was ordained 15, 16 years ago. It's not like with that ordination, all of a sudden now, in perpetuity, I am remembering and living as I lived 15 years ago. I should be maturing, but there are different temptations. I should be always studying God's Word, but there are different temptations. There are things that the ministers of God always ought to be prayed for. Because it's for your good that you would pray for Him. It's for your good that you would be praying for Him. So pray for me for your own good, as well as for mine. But for the glory of God, pray for me. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you intentionally, and I do not want to hurt you accidentally. It's an appropriate curse for the crime, secondly. We can get to the beginning now of this passage. The commandment of God for the ceremonial law came with a curse and a blessing. Now, the book of Leviticus has those listed. There are several times when blessings and curses are given to the people of God as they go. But there's a blessing and a curse given in Leviticus 26. There is a curse only because the intent is a blessing. A curse accompanies the law of God only because a blessing is intended. I'll kind of wrap your minds around that. When God says, honor your father and mother, Paul says that this is the first commandment with an express promise. A promise, but one that just happens to be expressed. It may go well for you. God intends for you in honoring your father and mother that it go good for you. Now, it's the same thing. You shall have no other gods before me. There's a blessing God intends. There's a blessing for us when we have no other gods before Him. The curse says, watch out. You are losing the blessing that God intends with the commandment. Now, for the unbeliever, that's all the law can do is curse, because there's no righteousness in them. But for God's people, who had the ceremonial law, that which typified Christ, God's grace, those who lived under grace, that was a curse, was to bump them along. So God gives them a reminder to pay attention, verse 2. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then this will happen, and it gets to the curse. He says, put yourself in a student's position. That's what every minister of the Word has to do when they open up the Word of God, when they're selecting a passage or whether it's topical or going from a book of the Bible. They have to become students. Every pastor is a student. Every minister of the Word of God is first a student. You've got to listen. You've got to listen to what the text says. But then he says, you listen to it and you take it to heart. That is, you don't go through, you wrestle with the Word, listen to it, and then say, but that doesn't preach well. Right? You hear about this, oh, that's a great passage, it preaches well. That means it'll sound good, right? You've got great illustrations, good stories you can tell, and everything else, and it preaches well. It's something people like to hear. So if it doesn't preach well, a minister is tempted to make it preach well by changing what it says, by not really listening and taking it to heart. So he says, take it to heart as well. That is, make what you hear the guiding principle of what you teach. Make what you hear what guides what you're going to bring to the pulpit on that Sunday, or the priest, what you're going to bring before the people and teach them, instruct them. Take it to your heart. They didn't, he says. So he brings the curse. First, blessings are taken away. I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Now, there's two ways this could be understood, and it may have a little bit of both. The priest had a certain blessing in that they were to receive a portion of certain offerings as their food. They received the tithes of the people. They received the blessing even from their ministry. They were to be cared for and provided for, and that's a blessing. And God says, I will turn it to a curse. It won't benefit you. You will not have those things. It could also mean, and perhaps together with that does, the priest was also responsible for blessing the people. The Aaronic blessing. The Levites, spokesmen for God, were to bless the people and give a blessing to the people. Now, if that blessing is turned to a curse, imagine that. We're at the end of the service. We're not yet. But we received the blessing, and I raised my hand, and on Lord's Supper Sundays, I take it from Hebrews, and I give a blessing. What if God had cursed me so that when I'm actually declaring God's blessing upon you, I'm declaring a curse upon you? So I'm saying the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you. But what God has actually done because of the corruption of the office of the priest is saying, may God turn His face away from you. May He not pay any attention to you. May He withdraw His favor from you. May He look upon you in anger and dismay. That's a curse. We don't want that. But that is what God has said to the priest. He said, I will curse your blessings. Indeed, it says, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Then he says, behold, secondly, I will rebuke your offspring, the curse upon their children's children. I will curse their seed. Particularly the priesthood under Aaron's descendants was a lineage that was passed down from generation to generation. Now you curse that. Then there is in verse 3, I will spread dung on your faces. The curse that makes them unclean and fit to be taken only outside of the city with the rubbish. That's what the dung here is referring to. When an animal was eviscerated to be prepared for sacrifice, that which remained in the intestines was taken out. The dung, the refuse. And it was taken out, all that was taken out of the city and burnt. So what is graphically expressed here is not, you know, to the giggles of little children, he spread dung on their faces. It was an indication of an unholiness, of an uncleanness that is not fit to be in God's presence. It's not just a humorous curse like I'm going to spread dung on their faces and look, they have dung on their faces. It meant that you are a part of that which is not fit to be in front of me. You're not fit. I do not receive your offerings. So yes, it was the very thing itself made one unclean. But they were made to be unclean in such a way that they said they were only fit to be taken out. You'll be taken away with it. What we do with God's word has consequences. It is right and it is good that ministers of the gospel in the OPC must not only be trained, they must be examined and constantly held accountable. Constantly held accountable. Constantly held accountable. Because we understand that what is said from the pulpit has consequences, not just on me, but it has consequences on you. It was an appropriate curse for their crime, but finally, in the assurance of a greater purpose. Remember, the law that comes with a curse, the commandment of God that comes with a curse, is actually aimed at a blessed end. And now we see this in the middle part of this passage as it is intended. What does God really intend for the preaching ministry, the teaching ministry of the priests? What did he really want? Why was it so important to rebuke them when they were corrupted? It's not just that they made God mad. Made God mad. See, God is good. God is good. God, in every detail and instruction that he gave in the book of Leviticus, it's worth reading and not skipping over to more narrative types like Numbers and Deuteronomy, which are good as well. But Leviticus is good to read. Because you need to see in every detail and explanation that God gives of all those different types of sacrifices, his intent to show how good he is to his people, to show you that he's good. And he really wants good for you. He does have a wonderful plan for your life. For those who are in Christ Jesus, who have been crucified with him to sin. This curse, he gives it, says in verse 4. Why? So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand. I'm cursing you now. I'm bringing this curse because I want the Levitical priesthood to be cleaned up. I want it to function the way I intended to function when I gave it to them for the good of the people. I want it to operate so that they're teaching wisdom and giving instruction and showing my love to the people of God. I want them to take the instruction of sacrifices so when that sacrifice is offered on the table and I have said and vowed in Leviticus that I would receive that sacrifice if given the way I have instructed, that they are received in my presence. That through blood, though it is just temporarily passed over, put aside until Christ's blood, which actually takes it away, comes, it was still for them a great comfort. And God says, I want the priesthood to function the way I intended it to. That's the why I'm cursing, bringing the curse. It's a correction. It's a clean up your act and do what I instructed you to do because I love my people. That's what he's saying. I want my covenant with Levi to stand. My covenant with him was life and peace. The priest and what they received in their priestly responsibilities were blessings because they were representatives of the people that were the people's blessings. The priesthood stood as one of the greatest gifts that God gave to his people. And it was a covenant of life and peace that he made with them. And there can be neither life nor peace without the regular work of a priest. There can't be life and peace without a priest. Because the people had to look to someone who could get near to God. All right, so this who's our priest? Who is the priest that taught and people said, this man teaches with authority? Who is the one who taught and never strayed from God what God had revealed? Who is the one who spoke? And when he spoke, yes, he gave new revelation. He's a prophet as well as a priest and king. He spoke that prophecy exactly as the Lord God instructed and gave it to him. I say what my Father gives me to say. I do what the Father gives me to do. That's Jesus. Who drew near to the Father? The Son drew near to the Father. Who offered up a sacrifice that was perfectly acceptable to the Father? Christ offered up a sacrifice perfectly acceptable to the Father. Who received the blessing of a resurrection of the dead because he was innocent and righteous? Jesus received the blessing of life and peace. And whose priest is he? He's our priest. He's our priest. God brought the curse upon these priests. Not just because then they were that which helped the people to see God and know His grace. But because they were that which, those who typified Jesus Christ Himself. You represent Christ.
What are you doing?
The minister of God is a spokesman. He is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. And the job is to draw you to Christ. Because in Christ alone you see the true goodness of God in His intent for you. His intent for you through Christ's death is everlasting life. His intent for you, as Paul says, having been justified by grace, you now have peace with God. Peace with God. Entrance into this place. That's why Malachi 2:1-9. That's why the dung on the face, that's why the blessings turn to curses, because Christ needs to be shown forth and not hidden. The curses in the Old Testament were appropriate for every violation. They were carefully and wisely given. But Christ is our high priest. And He always stood and does stand with His people to bring us life and peace. He never errs. We always have life and peace through Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your good intent and purpose for us. And pray that we would receive it through Christ and through Christ alone, for we can never earn it, but how freely You give it to us and how perfectly Christ fulfills all things righteous as a prophet, priest, and king. Praise be Your name, and may Your people be blessed with life and peace through Him. We pray it in His name. Amen.